The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus and his disciples were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were overwhelmed with grief. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax approached Peter and said, "Does not your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes," he said. When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, "What is your opinion, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take tolls or census tax? From their subjects or from foreigners?" When he said, "From foreigners," Jesus said to him, "Then the subjects are exempt. But that we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you." The Gospel of the Lord. Now this morning we're going to set aside my favorite miracle that Jesus ever worked, the one you just heard. And we're going to talk about the first reading for just a moment, because there's an important idea here in the first reading. We want to get this idea clear. And that's the idea of the heart. Moses says to the people, "Circumcise your hearts. Don't be stiff-necked. What does the Lord God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God and to serve him with all of your heart?" So let's take a look at the word heart for just a moment here today. It's a word that's used hundreds of times in the Old Testament. Occasionally it's used, you know, literally for your heart and your chest. But usually, the word heart in the Old Testament refers to that hidden part of you that only God can see. Now, I ask you to be careful, because the way the Bible uses the word heart is not the same way we use heart in our common speech today. Because when we use heart, we usually mean our emotions and our feelings, don't we? My heart will go on. My heart was in the right place. Follow your heart. Your heart will never lie. Pure emotion. Listen, when the Bible uses the word heart, it means a heck of a lot more than just that. Honestly, it means two things. First of all, yes, it does refer to your feelings and your emotions, but a more complete understanding of the way the Bible uses the word heart is it refers to your whole interior. And that means two things. First of all, it does mean your thoughts, including your feelings, including your emotions, but it also means your power to choose. Your heart refers to that capacity within you either to obey God or to rebel against God. The part of you that only God can see, and the whole of you, that's your heart. Now, the heart is that part of you which was most damaged by original sin. And it might surprise you to hear that the focal point of the entire Old Testament is the healing of the heart. When they talk about restoring Israel, when they talk about sending the Messiah, all these things, you go, what's it all about? What's it all for? It's all about restoring right relationship with God in every capacity of your soul. You could say, in a biblical sense of the word heart, that the focal point of the Old Testament is the healing of the heart. Now, that's what Moses talks about for the very first time today in Deuteronomy. He's going to circumcise your heart, going to give you new power to love God with obedience. The prophets go on and they develop the idea more fully. Jeremiah, he says God's going to write a new covenant. And this time he's not going to write it on tablets of stone. He's not going to write it on a papyrus scroll. He's going to write this covenant on your heart. Ezekiel takes it even a step further. He says, God's going to give you a heart transplant. You're going to take the old heart out completely, your heart of stone, your selfish little rebellious heart, and he's going to give you a brand new heart with the power to love him by keeping his word. Now, one thing that all the biblical figures will agree on, though, is that this is not something you can do on your own. You just don't have the strength or the ability. Try to get up on your own power, you're going to white knuckle it, you're going to follow God, dag nabbit, and you're not going to fall down this time, and what happens? You fall down again. You can't do this on your own capacity. Whatever this heart means, this replacement of your heart, all the Old Testament figures agree. God must do it for you. Now, St. Paul tells us that God did do it for us. When did God do this for us? St. Paul will tell you that God did this for you in baptism. And I need you to meditate and pray about that. Ask yourself a question. Have you been given anything that empowers you to love God with obedience against public pressure, your own weakness, all these things around you that entice you to do wrong? Have you been given anything that empowers you to do that? You know, the answer to that is yes. And if you doubt it, the proof is in the lives of the saints. I'm a Catholic because of the saints. You look at the saints and you see something different that you don't see anywhere else, anywhere in all of creation. They weren't just nice. They weren't just affable. They weren't just good-natured. They didn't just do a sweet, kind deed for a friend when he was having a low moment. Anybody can do that, right? That's just mere human nature. The saints show us something beyond natural capacity. And they're the proof that God has done something to the human heart. It's true for all the saints. You see it today in the life of the saint we celebrate today, St. Clare. A lot of you might already know the story of St. Clare, but just in case you don't, just a few highlights. St. Clare was born into this world with every privilege the world could possibly offer a young lady. She was born to a respectable, wealthy, upper-class family. Her future was set because she was guaranteed to marry some powerful, important, wealthy guy she'd never want for anything her whole life long. Lucky little girl, her whole life was all set. Then something happened to Clare. At a penance service in the Church of San Giorgio, she heard the preaching of Francis of Assisi, and something hit Clare's heart. She was changed. And she decided that she was not going to live for this world or anything in it. She was going to live for God alone. And she was going to be a follower of Francis of Assisi and the ways of Christ. Her parents were none too pleased. No daughter of mine is going to throw away a perfectly good future in favor of some itinerant preacher and his band of ragtag, long-haired followers. They tried to physically drag her back to the house. They sent out a little entourage to carry Clare back home. She clung to the altar. She said, if you're going to take me, you're going to drag the whole altar with you. I'm not going anywhere. Because something happened. You know, there was a fire in the heart of Francis of Assisi. And cor ad cor loquitur, her heart speaks to heart. It lit a fire in Clare. And she responded to it. And that fire is still burning. Consider 800 years later, countless thousands of souls have consecrated their life to Christ following the example of St. Clare. You know them today as the poor Clares. They're some of the holiest souls in our whole diocese. Who knows? The graces of God is raining down on all of us because of the prayers of the poor Clares there in Alexandria. And countless more who follow her spirituality. The proof of the fact that something has been done for us is in the lives of the saints. Listen, you judge the value of a medicine by the one who takes it, not by the one who doesn't. And you look at the lives of the saints and you see those who respond to God fully. But for us, for what we need to understand for our sake, we need to understand that there's nothing that's been given to them that hasn't also been given to you. It's not enough just that it's given. But God is a lover. He shower you with gifts, but he can't do for you all that he wants to do unless you respond. That's why it's so important that we do. Don't worry about your past. Put it behind you. Start today from wherever you are And in your heart, make this prayer to God. Take what's left of my life, Lord, and make of it what you will. That's the prayer that the saints offered. Effectively, that's the prayer that the saints offered every day. And that's the power by which God will finally show you he's healed your heart. He's made it his own. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to respond, because our hearts will be restless until they rest in him. St. Clare of Assisi, pray for us.